Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, we ask the question, how can today's Western Muslim women emulate Lady Fatima as her role model?
A Western Muslim woman today faces a multitude of contradictions regarding her responsibilities and rights. From her dressing, career, marriage, to her role of motherhood, and the lap that rises today's generation, this woman is often at crossroads between her Islamic identity, cultural background, and Western influence. Having celebrated the anniversary of Lady Fatima, daughter of the Holy Prophet, Islam and Life will discuss, how can a Western Muslim woman today find the formula from this holy lady to live a successful life?
If we come back to the Islamic tradition, the Islamic history, and the people surrounding the messenger, peace be upon him, it's quite important to get a sense of who was influential and so important. Sayyida Fatima, Lady Fatima, was very important, not only for the messenger, peace be upon him, but for all the community and for all the first generations of Muslims up to now. It's still a reference, a role model, the way she was educated, the way she got the message, the way she was involved within the society. These are questions that we have to come back to when it comes to the role of women, especially in Western societies today. What lessons, which kind of teachings we can get from her life, and understanding this today, it's quite important. So these are questions about the woman, the status of women, but also their education, their understanding, and the role within the community that we have to ask. And to answer these questions, I'm joined by Nikhat Panjwani, a prominent public speaker and a school teacher. Thank you so much for being with us today. So the first question, when it comes to why we are coming back to Sayyida Fatima and try to understand, why do you think that she has a special role, a special status in the Islamic tradition?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, the Prophet is the best of humankind. The Quran states that lakum uswatul hasana, for you he is the best of example. And he himself said that Fatima bad'atun minni, means she is of me, she's part of me, she is my soul. So she's the exemplar of womanhood in the prophetic tradition. And that's why Fatima is so important. Not only that, but as the Quran says, that the Prophet doesn't speak of his own desire. وَمَا يَنْتَكُنْ أَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. He only says what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to him. And that's what he said, that Fatima is an important part of my life, and anyone who angers her, angers me. And that's why Fatima is the important role model, exemplar in our lives.
So it's quite interesting, because what we have in the Quran and the verse that you are referring to, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, that the Prophet, the Messenger, peace be upon him, is the model for all the Muslims, and Fatima could be understood as the model for all the women, because she's coming from him. She was not a prophet, she was not a messenger, but she was an example, embodying all the teachings and the principles. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, was used to stand up when she was coming to him, just out of respect, and also showing all the companions how much she was important, not only as a daughter, but as a woman. So if now we come to her life, and we try to get a sense of which kind of lessons we can draw from her life, what would be the first lesson that we can get from her life?
If I may say that she was a mother, daughter, wife, community worker, teacher, par excellence. So she had the excellence in all those life skills. Going down to the motherhood, which is important for me as a woman, that motherhood is an important aspect of our lives, I can see how she brought up her children. There was a sense of service to others. There was a sense when they were speaking to the Prophet, when they heard the Prophet, when they came back, she asked them, what did you learn? And I've used that a lot in my life. Is that I always ask children, my children, what have you learned from a lecture that you heard? What have you learned in school? So, you know, creating the communication link between your children. And that's a great thing for us to learn from Bibi Fatima alayhi salam. She taught them how to live with others, service to others. And as the Quran in Surah Al-Dahr says that, I do not feed you but for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So service to others before yourself came to the children's lives as well. She also taught them, and she was praying. Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi salam used to ask, why do you pray for somebody else? Why can't you pray for yourself, mom? And she says, no, it is others that we should pray for first. And these are some of the lessons we can take from her and bring up our children in the environment today.
So something which is important, and especially in our societies now in the West, not only it's throughout the world the same situation, but in the West, when we are dealing with very competitive societies in schools and where education is educate yourself but never forget the people. And this is the way she was educating her sons and this vision, because once again there is something which is coming from her, even before being a mother or being a daughter, being a woman, as getting this sense of something which was very close to the very essence of the Islamic message, is just to be a woman, autonomous, spiritual, knowing the very understanding of life. And this is because of that she was the mother she would become.
Because she's been given a lot of epithets. One of them is Al-Batul, which is a devoted one. She's been given As-Sadiq, you know, Siddiqa, because she was the truthful one. Truth in her life is so important. And that's what she portrayed all along her life and gave her children as well. She was also called Aradhia because she was content with whatever you have. And today, you know, we are so uncontent in our lives. Every time we want more and more and more. And to learn from her that contentment is such an important thing in life. And because she was content, she was called Al-Mardhiya, because Allah is pleased with her as well, because of her stature and the way she has led her life.
Yes,
sure.
And I think that this is very important when we start talking about, you know, the companions and even the women around the messenger, peace be upon him. It's sometimes that we are focusing on their roles within the society. But anything which is positive about their roles, it's coming from who they were and the way they understood the very essence of the message. And Fatima is very much embodying something which is, as you said, Radi al-Mardiya, which is coming also from Surah Al-Fajr, that in Nafs al-Mutma'inna, the highest level, is the fact that this closeness to God and this closeness to the Messenger is in her. And this is why when she's educating her sons, for example, and the family, is, yes, you should be close to God, but also close to the people. Solidarity, caring about people. This is something which is one of the dimensions that you are talking about. And even it's known about her that she was around the mosque and helping the poor people.
Yes,
and
sure.
It's also coming from mothering and caring. Go ahead. What
some
other
great
dimension?
Narrations on her.
Yes.
Great narrations of her giving her necklace and how it comes back to her. There's narrations of her giving her wedding dress. So charity played a very important part in her life. Also teaching played a great important life. You know, today our lives are pretty easy where household chores are concerned. But that time it was quite tough and difficult times. And the patience that she showed in all her life, and in spite of all those hardships, she actually had the time to teach and to dissipate knowledge, which she was so great in. I mean, she learned straight from the Prophet, obviously, so her knowledge was beautiful. You know, it portrays from all her du'as as well. Her devotion was so amazing. The Sayyidat Zahra has some just lovely du'as.
And for me, supplications,
yes. And for me, the everyday du'as are so great. And she talks about Allah so beautifully, mashallah, that, you know, make me what you want me to be, rather than, you know, what I want to be. And that's such a great du'as that she has.
So there is a direct connection to God, talking to God.
Absolutely.
Through the supplication, through the prayers.
Absolutely.
And at the same time, as you said, something which was her role was very, very much dealing with poor people, caring about the other, and teaching, which is exactly the same, is give what you have. Give give who you are at the same time as what you have.
Sure, yeah.
And this dimension of teaching is essential. We keep on repeating that Islam is all about education. But and for us today, in our societies, the way you educate your kids, your children, but also the way you are in the society, there will be no real society or better society without
education.
Yes. True. What else would you because you mentioned so many dimensions that you spoke about her as a mother, her as a teacher.
As a wife.
Yes.
Imam Ali al-Islam has been said to have said that when I see Fatima, all my sadness and depression goes. I mean, he doesn't need to have a paracetamol, he just has to see Fatima. And
so
all
this
that,
is your advice for the woman today.
Yes, absolutely. So, well, if the husband has to see you, he has to feel that serenity to be able. So it's a life partner, and the woman gives that husband that standing, and she stood by him in all hard times. And today, with the breaking of family life, Fatima is a great role model to see that, you know, we need to nurture our children together as husband and wife.
But there is something which is important in all this, because at the same time we are saying that the wife she was, but she was that wife because also there is something which is confidence. She was self-confident. She knew about her religion, as you are saying. She was a teacher. She was someone who knew about Islam. And very often when you come within the family, it's also something that we have to say to Western Muslim women, is that there is no way to face the reality of our world if you are not educated as a good Muslim and to know about your religion. And then to in your family life, not to be completely dependent on, because she was not dependent on Ali, she was independent. And this relationship is quite important, is the way you can please also your husband, or the husband could please his wife, is on this relationship which is two independent souls, but at the same time coming together. And this relationship between Ali, karramallahu wajha, and Fatima is something which is quite important. There is a secret here.
Sure, yes. And that's what we really need to see, that what is it? And again, it goes down to godliness, piety, and contentment, and putting the hereafter before this world. And very often we are running after this world and forgetting the hereafter. That's where all the problems arise. So being content with what you have. I mean, she never asked Imam Ali al-Islam for anything, and he begged her, please ask me, and she asked for a pomegranate, as you know, the narration goes. And obviously, she got it back from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But so it is a kind of a relationship which is based on taqwa and piety, and putting God first before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before anything else.
Yes, and there is even a story that we have in one tradition when she needed help because it was too much. She was helping the poor around the mosque, and she was shy to ask her father, the Prophet, sure she spoke to Ali. He went himself to the Prophet, she asked. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, I can't do that for you.
Yes.
And then what happened, which is very important, he went during the night, he knocked at the door and said, I can't give you the servant that you need, but I can give you something which is better than that.
Yes.
And to say after every prayer, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, which is praising God, is saying God is the greatest, is to repeat, is in fact, she needed help. And she gave her a spiritual gift, which is up to now, until now, the one that we are repeating every day.
Absolutely. And to me, it's been such an important thing in my life. Because every time I feel that I'm really tired of this cooking and cleaning and everything, the first thing I do is recite the tasbih. And immediately that peace comes through, and that contentment comes through. Because in your life, juggling, you know, family and work and children, it's the same challenges are there, which Bibi Fatima al-Islam, kind of, they're different. But we can use the same tools today. See, that's greatness. So the tools of her patience, her piety, we can use with the challenges that we have today.
Yes,
so we can transpose her personality today and use all her qualities to attain that contentment in life.
You know, and especially what we are talking about, as a daughter, she was asking for material support. She got spiritual support as something which is the greatest gift that she can she could get from the Prophet, Aisatu Wassalam. So as a daughter, would you say something in the relationship that she had with the messenger?
Yes, she was called Umm Abiha, wasn't she? That mother of the father.
Yeah.
so kind of a relationship with, where she was nurturing. You know, she went into wars for no less than 30 wars with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Very close to him. Mm. And to go to 30 wars at that, you know, ripe age is very difficult. I mean, I can't imagine us being in a war all the time for 30 of them. And she nurtured him and she, you know, bandaged him. So that relationship was really close kind of relationship. Yeah. And as daughters, we can also achieve that relationship with our fathers today, and have that relationship where you can have the communication links.
Yes, up to the end, because the last words of the Prophet once, when he spoke to her in her ears, and she started crying, and he was telling her, "I'm going to leave, I'm going to die," and she started crying, and then she talked again, and she told her, and she smiled, and in fact, when asked why are you smiling, he said, because he told me I would be the first to join him. So there was a very, very a deep relationship, and this is important. If now, with all this, because if someone is watching us now and say, okay, all this is fine, they were great people, I'm not so great, I'm living in the West, what should I do just to come close to this example, this is role model? Because everything that we are saying now is just talking about a role model. What would be the priorities? How do you see someone living now in Europe or in the West or in any Muslim majority country can take from this example?
See, when we talk about a role model, we're talking about somebody we can emulate, somebody we can look upon, somebody whose goals and aspirations we can look for, and somebody who inspires you. And if whatever we've been talking about, it's inspirations that... So the challenges that she faced and challenges we face are, of course, different today. But we can use her ethical, moral virtues, her piety, her knowledge that we all can imbibe in our lives as women to be able to achieve that kind of life that she had. We can only try. We can't reach up to her status. We can do as much as we can.
What would be, for example, the first steps? Because very often the people are saying, oh, you, when you talk about, you know, these great historical figures or the companions or even the messenger, peace be upon him, with the seerah, you are telling us things that are very simple, very beautiful, but not reachable at all.
Sure,
so practically speaking, what would be your advice to a woman living now?
If I look at my own life, first of all, it's contentment.
Yeah.
Satisfaction with Allah's decree is so important that she was satisfied and she said, you know, as I said, radhiya, she was content with her life. And whatever Allah has put for us, we need to be content to start with.
Okay.
So not run after the world.
So to be positive with what you get.
Yes, positive with what you get. Hmm. As they say, if you get a lemon, make a lemonade.
Hmm.
So be able to achieve what we have in life. So not aspire for the material gains. Also her devotion, we can attain that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through our devotions. I mean, it is between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The world can be, you know, at our throats, but we can have that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can have relationships with our children the way we would, you know, and bring them up in an environment which is caring and loving. We can have the patience that she had. I mean, her hardships are nothing compared to our hardships. I don't have to grind the wheat and do all the things that she had to do.
Still,
I have a Hoover and I have a mixie
still,
today.
You live in a Western environment.
Absolutely.
In the West, whereas all what we have today, the media, the pressure, the image of what should be a modern woman, it's very far from what we are talking about now. So people would say, yes, you are right, we are not facing all this, you know, social realities, but we're facing something which is very strong, very heavy, which is the psychological pressure, which is not helping us to be a Muslim man and woman in our daily life.
That's why we need the role model. We need to see what her goals and aspirations were. We need to align our goals and aspirations with her aspirations, not the Western aspirations and what success according to the Western world is. Success to us should be Allah is happy with me and I'm, you know, happy with Allah. That kind of a relationship. So if I aspire to be a Western woman with all the goals that you know the media throws at us, I will never be able to make her my role model, because her lifestyle, her aspirations, her goal, her hereafter, her idea of life itself, the world view, as you see, is completely different from what a Western world view would be.
But we can, in fact, as she did and so many other women, did within their societies, to say it might be that we can, from within, as Western Muslim women, challenge the goals and the objectives by saying, we don't want more, you know, consumerism. We don't want to the look.
Yeah.
We want something which is deeper, which is at the end of the day, salamat in nafs, which is the peaceful, intimate being. This is what we want to reach.
Exactly.
But this is a spiritual education as well.
Yes, I think spiritual education is is the right word that you've used.
Hmm.
Because if I can spiritually educate myself and reach a goal which is more worthy of the hereafter, then all the outside Western influence will not affect me as much, isn't it? I mean, I'm a school teacher, and I can live in a life with being a teacher, home, husband, and community life at the same time. So if I may say, I'm a British Western woman, but a Muslim woman. So I'm transposing her life, Bibi Fatima al-Islam's life, from that 1400 years ago to today, to be able to live the life that I'm sure she would have lived if she was here, in the sense that, you know, taking all the moral virtues, devotion, kindness, charity, and living a fulfilling life which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes you to do.
Yes, but you should add something which was said, and we have to repeat this. She was getting all this, but at the same time, she was very much socially involved. She was visible in the society. She was not disappearing.
Exactly.
It's not peaceful without visibility.
Sure,
it's peaceful with the society and within the society.
Yes.
I think this autonomous status of Fatima, respected by her father, peace be upon him, and visible within the community, is something which is important today.
And even having a voice for that matter.
Yes, exactly.
She spoke up when, you know, she didn't accept injustice, so she spoke up. And today you see in Bahrain and all the places, it is her role model that they're coming out of the streets and voicing their opinion against injustice. So yes, being part of a social group where you can actually speak for yourself, be a part of it, and yet be a woman that is adhered to spiritual values, I'm sure we can achieve that status.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I think that out of this discussion, I think it's quite interesting and important to come back to some of the great examples in history. And one of them, of course, is Sayyida Fatima. And to come to understand who she was, because before having many roles within the community, she was a woman with this very deep spirituality and autonomous in her way she was dealing with God, the way she was dealing with even her husband and the society. And then the spiritual understanding, the spiritual teaching, the spiritual education that she got from the beginning made her this woman who had different qualities. For example, of course, as a daughter, the way she was with her father was just great and very deep, very spiritually driven. And then as a wife, as you said, as a mother, as a teacher within the society, and always helping, caring about the poor people in the society. At the same time, deeply spiritual and very much visible within the society. And this is where the Muslim Western women should get a very interesting role model and lessons for today, and in which way they have to deal with the society. Doesn't mean to disappear. It means to be visible. And as you said, also being vocal when women are facing injustice. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen. And here is the way to contact us.
We'd like to hear your views on today's show, as well as ideas for future programs. You can do this by emailing us at islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. You can also join our Facebook page by searching Islam and Life on Press TV, where you can view past programs, keep up to date on future shows, leave comments, and meet other Islam and Life fans.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Nikhat Panjwani. Thank you so much for being with us and your views on a very important topic. And I hope to see you next week, inshallah.